Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Herb was almost 100 years old. His eyesight was still very good, but his hearing was failing. When I went to visit him at the nursing home, he would turn to me and say, "Pastor, there must be some reason that I'm still alive. There must be something that I'm supposed to do. If I could just figure out what it was, I'd do it so I could die and go to heaven." Most of us feel like her. We feel that there is a reason for our existence on this earth. And for most of us, we would like to think that our being here will make a difference. We would like to make an impact on the world around us, leave our mark on this world. Can we really make a difference? Will this world be changed after we leave? I have no answers to these questions. But God's Word tells us the kind of impact that one person was able to make on this world. In Exodus chapter 32, we see how one person was able to change the events of history and to make an impact on the nation of Israel. You know the stage. Israel has left captivity of Egypt. They are at the base of Mount Sinai, and they've just convinced Aaron to make themselves an idol like everybody else has around them. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and they have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it, sacrificed to it, and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.'" God sounds pretty angry here, doesn't he? The people had left him. In their wandering in the desert, the children of Israel had wandered away from God. In 3 short months, these people had turned away from the very God who had delivered them from 400 years of bondage. They were doing what they wanted to do, and they forgot about God, what He wanted them to do, what He had already done for them, and they broke His law. Just days before, God had spoken His Ten Commandments to these people. He told them, "Make no idols for yourselves." But how quickly they forgot. They'd taken all of their jewelry and their gold, and they cast an idol in the shape of a calf, just like everybody around them had. Just like we still do today, when we assimilate into our lives the images, the idols of people around us, without even realizing what we're doing. Oh, our idols, they may not be of gold and silver, but we have our idols just the same. Boats, cars, computers, houses, whatever it is that we let get in place of placing God first in our lives. And then these Israelites, they worshiped their idol. They bowed down to their idol. They offered sacrifices to this metal god that they had made. They gave this golden calf the credit for their miraculous deliverance from the Egyptians. In 3 short months, they forgot everything that God had done for them. And they were thanking and praising a hunk of metal, a small, insignificant part of God's creation. This is a sad situation, isn't it? These people, they're really off base. And they deserve what is about to happen to them. "I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them. And then I will make you into a great nation. Stiff-necked people. God sounds like he's describing a bunch of Germans here, doesn't he? Stiff-necked people. Now, I can say that because I'm German, and I know what it means to be bound and determined to do what I want to do, when I want to do it. Do any of you know people like that? Stiff-necked people, people set in their ways, people who want to do the things that they want to do. And you don't have to turn and look at the professors right now either, do you? So God has no choice here but to do what a just God must do. And he's going to bring punishment on these people for their sins. And this punishment is not just going to be a swat on the back of their hand. This is going to be total, complete destruction. Because that's what they deserve for their sins. That's what they deserve for their actions of disloyalty. This situation keeps going from bad to worse. The Israelites had left God. They'd broken his law. They'd turned to idols. And God is ready to destroy them. Doesn't sound very promising for the children of Israel, does it? But now the ball is in Moses' court. And what Moses does really makes an impact on the future of Israel. You know, Moses could have taken advantage of this situation because God tells Moses that he's going to destroy the rest of the children of Israel and start all over with him. All the promises were going to go to Moses. All the promises from Abraham, from Isaac, from Jacob were now going to go to Moses. The promise of land, the promise of a Messiah, the promise of children as numerous as the sands of the sea. There would be no more children of Israel. There would be children of Moses. Christ would now be born of Moses. Here was Moses' big chance. If he just keep his mouth shut, he could have gained the whole world. Because God was willing to start all over with him, as he had done with Abraham 500 years before. But Moses doesn't take advantage of this situation. No, he turns to God with a request for the people. Moses made the very best out of a very bad situation. Because we know this situation does not turn out like it seemed it was destined to. For Israel was not destroyed that day at the base of Mount Sinai. Moses never became the father of this great and new nation. And Jesus Christ was born of Mary and Joseph, of the tribe of Judah. And the reason for this is because of what Moses did. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. O Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with your great power and might? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them at the mountain, to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you spoke by your own self. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky. I will give your descendants all this land that I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented, and he did not bring on his people the disaster that he had threatened. Moses interceded for the people. Moses reminded God of all the promises that he had made to the Israelites. He reminded God of all the great deeds that he had done. Moses showed the care and the concern, the love that he had for his brothers and sisters. Moses loved these people very much. And he didn't want to see them destroyed, even though he could have gained everything, simply by letting God do what he said he was going to do. Moses showed there that he placed his concern for others over his concern for advancing himself. And because of his actions, God saved Israel. God listened to the request of Moses, and he did not destroy the Israelites, even though that's what they deserved, because of their stiff-necked actions. Because of the intercession of Moses, God saved the people. And God saves us, too. He doesn't destroy us, even though that's what we may deserve because of our stiff-necked actions. God listens to the petitions of one person, someone who daily pleads for us and asks God to show mercy on miserable sinners like us. And this one person is Jesus Christ. Every day, Christ intercedes for us. He asks his Father to be merciful to us, to show us love rather than anger. Christ can do this because of his death on the cross. As a man, he took our place, and as God, he now stands before his Father and pleads with his Father for us, his brothers and sisters. He doesn't want us to wander off to the gods of the world around us. As Moses interceded for the Israelites, as Christ intercedes for us, shouldn't we intercede for those who are away from God? There are still many today who fall in this very same category, many who are away from God. Some have never been close to him. Others maybe were close as a child and have, through the years, wandered away. For these people, we need to intercede just like Moses interceded, just like Christ intercedes for us. We need to pray that God will open these people's hearts and minds to accept the good news of what Christ has already done for us. Pray that God opens their hearts and minds to accept this wonderful news of salvation that we have. But you know what that means? It means that we need to bring them God's wonderful word of salvation. We have a responsibility to tell the lost people of this world of the love that God has for them in sending his Son to die for them. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, how can they believe in the one whom they've never heard? Of the 6,000 languages spoken in our world today, only half have any portion of God's word written in them. Half of the world's language groups cannot read God's word in the language that they speak. That's more than 300 million people who cannot know of a God who loves them, who sent his Son to die for them in their own language. And it's up to you. It's up to people who have heard, people who know of God's love. It's up to you to expose them to God's love. Lutheran Bible Translators is committed to bringing God's word into the languages of all people. No one on this earth should ever have to learn another language in order to read about Jesus Christ. Next year, my family and I plan on being in the country of Botswana in southern Africa, bringing God's word to the remaining 15 language groups in that country. But it's not just us. It's you too. You too can bring God's love to people around you, people in this nation and around the world. Show friends and neighbors the love that God has shown to you. We all need to look for ways of sharing God's word, God's love with other people. What greater impact can we have on someone else's life than to bring them the word of God, to help them to know the love that God has for them and the life that they have through Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to make a great impact on this world. There are still many people who are away from God, people who are in a pretty sad situation, people who desperately need to have someone expose them to the love that God has for them. They need you to tell them. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. They need God's word. Amen.